Tony Hook up, man, having a great time. Few more moments left, man, and we're having a great day. Just a lot of stuff going on this weekend with Husker Fan Day tonight, 5:30 to 7:30. If you're down there, take care of yourselves, drink, hydrate yourselves. Be excited to be back at Memorial Stadium to meet some of your favorite players and see some of your favorite coaches. Also, we've got Celebrity Softball coming up, Beer Fest also at Haymarket Park this Saturday. It's a great time to get out and do that, man. So a lot of good stuff coming on. So, but let's not wait any longer. Our man, Husker legend, Henry T. Buchanan. What's up, T?
What's happening? What's happening? Can't call it, man. It just out here. Still, the weather's not cooperating with us, man. I had to golf this past Sunday in some rain, walked in some rain with a big umbrella and got soaking wet, man. But still, it's always a great day to golf, so can't complain too much.
Look, man, legends don't get wet. Come on.
Hey, I had a big old red flag. I mean, umbrella and, man, my clubs. And, you know, the wind was blowing a little bit, man, so I couldn't avoid it. We always walk 9 every Sunday and have a little breakfast and some mimosas. And that's tradition. Been doing that for about a year and a half now.
T, that's awesome stuff, man. Let's jump into it. Obviously, big stuff going on, man. You got fall camp kicking off for Nebraska football. You got players. More players showing up for Nebraska basketball. Hey, you know, in these times right now, it's you know, late July, early August. They're doing a lot of basketball stuff. How important it is to get everybody on campus and get going, because they just got the 7-footer in town. Tominaga, once they're out of the Olympics, he'll be to town. But once you get everybody going, how important is it, not just on the court but off the court?
Well, definitely, I would say off the court first. Players getting to know each other off the court. I never forget the story when Derek Vick and I were freshmen, and of course we're at a Hutchinson Junior College, and we all showed up about the same time, and you know, working out, filling each other out, and you know, of course, you know, Derek Vick coming from Chicago, he was playing shy, of course, and we were just trying to fill each other out and playing pickup, seeing what type of games. Nobody seen anybody play at this time because, you know, AAU wasn't prevalent back then. And, of course, I was a little bit older than everybody else. And just getting to know one another and what you're about and what type of mindset you have. And then plus, you know, at the university, you know, with the facilities and the coaching staff, you got a couple new coaches, you know, the strength coach who came not too long ago, and everybody just really getting out there. I text Coach Hoiberg just a couple of days ago after I watched Tommy Yaka play, and the guy looked phenomenal to me. I mean, he can shoot, he can just flat out play, and then Coach Hoiberg said, I can't wait for him to get here. I know he's on his way, and just to get everybody in there and start building that chemistry early, man. So it's some exciting times right now.
You know, Henry, what was your experience like throughout college, you know, playing with international players? Because there's no question the game is played, you know, differently on that side than here. And we're seeing that especially right now in the Olympics with USA basketball struggling, you know, with a few teams. We'll get to that here in a few minutes. But do you see any different with international players coming over and playing here in America?
Well, it wasn't as much back then. I know we used to have preseason games. I remember we played against Yugoslavia 1 year and Czechoslovakia the next year or something like that. And they just played a whole totally different game than America. And, you know, when you talk about the European rules and how they play over there, and back then we considered them soft, and then we were the powerhouse. But nowadays, man, it seems like it's reversed, man, with the soft play in the NBA and the physical play over in Europe. And you can see that in the Olympics. You know, size is makes a difference, and not only size, those big guys in Europe can flat out play. I mean, handle, shoot, I mean, defend, rebound, I mean, they do it all. And then we're finesse, you know, we're athletes, and you know, we're the most athletic nation in the world and the best basketball players, but you know, it's just a different brand of ball. And as you can tell with the player of the year, you know, being European, one of the best upcoming players you know, for Dallas, you know, one of the best players in the world. And they, I mean, we might as well just admit it, man, they don't call this.
Yeah, I mean, that's – oh, sorry. Yeah, those are great points, because I think it's interesting when players come over and have to learn the game and the physical side of it. But it's definitely exciting times. Hey, when you look at this thing, because I think there's the on-paper buzz, because this class that you're looking at right now, arguably ranking-wise, since I think Rivals and all this stuff started in 2002. You're looking at the best Nebraska class on paper we've ever seen, right?
Oh,
I mean, you'd look at the players, the roster, and all that. But how now the job starts, right? How do you translate that from paper to play? Because I keep saying that, like, I'm excited, right? I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I've met some of these guys. They're just great guys overall. How does that translate now? The work starts. How do you get all that hoopla out of your head and make it become a vision on the court?
Well, that's easy response there. The coaching staff, you know, and, you know, I'm looking at the roster and I'm looking at the coaching staff now and what Coach Hoiberg has comprised, you know, with Armon Gates and Doc Sadler. You know, you got the new coach, Matt. That's not big-time recruiter, but Nate that's in. And just watching them mm-hmm. when I was in Lincoln, just watching them just in their workouts and how intense and how involved that they are. And I think this is where it starts. And then the big problem that I see, if you want to, and it's a good problem, is that is finding playing time from everybody. I mean, because all these kids can shoot, they can play. You know, and I know preseason, the preseason and pre-conference game is going to be huge for the program. But right now, they're earning their minutes right now. I mean, the coaches are looking at the guys who's coming, who's showing up early, who's staying late to shoot around, who's working out, who's winning in sprints, who's working hard in the weight room. I mean, all of that, matter of fact, it's just like an interview. You know, I was taught in the corporate world that every person you talk to and every movement you make, you're in an interview. And right now, these young players, especially the new players who's coming on campus, that's trying to establish in themselves and be a part of a something exciting. So it starts right now, but it starts with the coaches and then the players to catch up. Right now, the players are competing against each other, right? Getting to know each other. Plus, at the same time, man, you know, I'm here to take your spot. And which is a great thing, too. I mean, from top to bottom, like, I haven't seen a team like this, like I said, since the 26-win team from top, you know, from the depth perspective. And these kids are going to be competing. And matter of fact, it's going to make the games a lot easier for them.
We're talking to Henry T. Buchanan. Henry, you know, it's great. We're getting players on campus, and it's great. We're actually getting in-person media, times and talking to players, which is great. And we heard the other day that Eduardo Andre, he told the media that he is just eating a ton right now because that's what they're telling him. They said, eat as much as you can. And, you know, he said he's already gained some weight, which is really good. You know, thinking back to your time at Nebraska, what was it like the nutrition side? Was there ever a time where you needed to put on weight? And what was it like, you know, eating and stuff? I mean, do you have any good stories of what other teammates of yours, how much food they could eat?
Oh my goodness. The training table, back then, we all ate at the training table and, you know, and you had your pick of the litter, you know, and, you know, steaks. I mean, from a nutrition standpoint and for putting on weight, meat and potatoes. And some of my funniest stories, though, I mean, it's, you know, in addition to the eating, you know, D. Vic, you know, he was a heavy eater. And of course, Van Pogies and all those guys back then and Bo Reed, but we used to have this, what we call the Green Mile, you know, and it's before the Green Mile. It was the Death Walk where all these football players, you know, Willie Griffin and, you know, the Sandman and all these football players, Morgan Gregory and all of them would sit right where you had to take your food and to dump it. And it was like you would try to outweigh them because what would happen is as you take these trays to dump your food, these football players would just pick on you. You know, and just, you know, what we call, you know, we call cracking or whatever, just signifying or whatever. So it was just an hour worth of laughter just trying to even get your food put away. But the training table, and I'm sure it's still there, and they do a great job with not only the football and basketball players, but all athletes. And so it's really not an excuse to pick up weight in the university, but not only pick up weight, but make that turn into muscle. I heard that Andre gained, what, 35 pounds so far?
Yeah, around there, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, so no, it's it's huge. And like I've told you before, conditioning is going to be huge, and that's happening right now. So when the season starts, oh, man, I mean, yeah. We won games in the last 5 minutes because we were more conditioned than the other team. And of course, we had a great weight program.
Yeah, and, you know, the best example I can think of is I remember Isaiah Roby, man. When he made he made that jump in the weight room that one summer, and when he came back, man, he was flying.
Oh yeah, look at him now. And you know, look at him now. You know, and hey, speaking of, man, I'm looking forward to, I hear Batten is maybe a late round, a late second round pick, you know, or a good chance of making a team, get two of the Huskers in there, man. But I've watched Roby play, man, and golly, just within 2 years, man, he's like a whole different person. And but that's what Nebraska brings, and you have everything, especially with the new strength coach that we have there, Kirk Joseph, you know, coming from the NBA. I mean, I'm looking forward to the next couple of years. I'm telling you, fellas, man, I've been drinking the Kool-Aid forever, but this year it seems to be a little bit more special, man. And I think we're just going to see a lot of good things happen in the program, and really looking forward to it, along with the football program.
Hey, T, just an interesting question. You know, you look at this roster, you talk about when you look at it, the number of athletes and the stars and all that stuff, how do you, man, if you're Bryce McGowan's, man, I got to meet the kid. He is such a humble kid when you get a chance to talk to him. And I got to spend some time with him on the podcast and things like that, which is an amazing thing. But as that kid and the hype he's getting, being the first five-star Nebraska, it's how much, I mean, there's a lot of pressure. We can't deny that. It's going to be pressure on a young kid coming in. How do you maintain that, man? Because there's going to be a lot of eyes on him. There's going to be every time he touches the ball. How do you monitor and kind of ground that?
Well, one thing he has in his favor, he has his big brother there, you know, that's going to help him, that's been through the trenches and things of that sort. The other piece is his teammates, you know, because everybody knows who the five-star recruit is. And from based on what I saw on the court when I was in Lincoln, man, He's I'm not going to say by far, but it was easy to determine who was the best player on the team. He was a man amongst boys, in my opinion. And all they're going to do, they're going to ride his coattail. And I think, you know, I met him and had a chance to talk to Bryce and his brother. And Bryce is looking forward to the challenge. And, you know, and he's not a five-star recruit for nothing, you know. And I think he's going to lead by example. You know, and that's, speaking of leading, you know, that's the part that I'm looking for. I'm just looking for who is going to be the floor leader. You know, right now I feel it's going to be Trey based on my conversation with him. He said he's looking forward to, you know, making his teammates better. And distributing the ball, but is he going to be the vocal leader? Who's going to be that person who's going to step up? And if it's Bryce, it may so be it. You know, we get him for 1 year because I'm pretty sure he's a one and done. Get him for 1 year, man, and get us over the hump. You maybe get to that tournament and win our first game. So, no, it's a, and you got some shooters out there. You got some players. I mean, from top to bottom, I can't wait to get back to Lincoln. I've been looking at the calendar and the schedule. I might come back 3 to 5 times, man, to watch these kids play.
You know, kind of going back to the pressure side of that, Henry, and looking at NIL, you know, putting yourself back in college and, you know, a basketball player, let's say you got an endorsement deal and, you know, they gave you a nice chunk of change. Let's say it was like $200,000. Would you feel any pressure to, you know, any more pressure to perform?
No, I would feel the pressure to perform better to get more money. I mean, because that's what it's about. That would just, you know, if I'm getting paid for being a Cornhusker and playing for a team, and then, you know, it's just like the NBA or anything else you do, even in the corporate world, the better you are at the job, the more money you get. And then if you're performing at a certain level and somebody's willing to endorse you and you continue getting better and getting more and earning more revenue for that organization, they're going to pay you more. So it's just going to be motivation for you to get better and to play better and to produce. And to produce is all about wins and losses. You know, you can average 30 points a game, but if your team is 2-10, it doesn't mean anything, you know, so from that perspective. So it's going to be a team sport, but the individual, you know, it's the only thing it's going to do is motivate you to be better.
Hey, Henry, sorry, Hoax, go ahead.
Go ahead, Will.
I was just going to jump into some Olympics basketball talk, Henry. I know, how much have you been following with the Olympics?
Oh yeah, I've been following the USA team and following the 3x3. I've been following them all, men and women, and it's been interesting to say the least. Heck, I woke up early and caught part of that Argentina and Spain game, and I tell you what, it's I just think the game is so different in Europe than it is in the U.S. Even though I kind of really like the way they call European. basketball. And the U.S. is just adjusting. And I think we're still going to win the gold. I just think there's no doubt that we're going to win the gold just for the simple fact we're just better. And we proved that against Iran. And don't get me wrong, Iran is not a juggernaut by no stretch of imagination. But that's a game that we needed, and we needed to win it like that. And I think that was just a wake-up call, the pre-Olympic games and then our loss to France. I think we'd be all right.
So I'm curious, you know, there's reports out there, Henry, about the ball, the basketball that is being used, the FIBA ball. You know, they're saying this might have something to do with USA struggling. Do you believe that?
No. I don't play with a beach ball. I don't play basketball with any ball. If you can play and you can shoot it, I don't care what you use. You just adjust to it. I don't buy that, at least personally. I mean, I can't speak for everybody else, but I've played with flat balls, too hard a ball, too heavy a ball, too big of a ball. You name it, man. If you're a baller, man, you'll figure it out, especially at that level of being the best in the world. So it's no, I don't buy that at all.
Hey, what do you say to the people out there when you look at the Olympics? I mean, it's like the men's basketball team. It also kind of goes in the Ryder Cup stuff when you look at, you know, America in general, when they say always the most talented roster but never good team or teammates.
I beg to differ, you know, and once you get to that level, and of course I never played in NBA or anything like that, but just being a former athlete and just knowing, you know, I don't care what golf, I don't care if it's golf, tennis, you name it, across the board, when you're selecting these individuals and they know, I mean, they know what they need to do and to compete, and the same thing for the other countries. They're putting their best foot forward, you know, and unfortunately for us, you know, we don't have to put our best NBA players or WNBA players. Heck, if you remember correctly, the WNBA All-Star team kind of beat up on the women's Olympic team, you know, so this to show you the level of talent that that we do have. So I don't think that makes a difference, other than the amateur status, because you're looking at the swimmers, you know, these young 17, 18-year-olds, that's, you know, the young lady from Alaska who comes from out of nowhere to be, you know, to win a gold. And, you know, I'm telling you what, man, it's just, you know, this, it's a little different because it's in Japan, so you've seen a lot of replays, you already know the outcome and things of that sort. But just watching the best of what they do across the world, man, is a special thing every 4 years. And the World Championships the same way.
Yeah, by the way, I like how you mentioned the 3x3. You said it properly, 3x3. It's so weird how they're calling it that. But what do you think of that? It's so fast-paced.
Oh, I love it, man. The 12-second shot clock, and when you score, you don't check it up. I mean, if the ball is live all the time, I even like the way they call it, you know, the flops. You know, they call a foul on the person who flopped, you know, and I just enjoy watching. I was just talking to Shoecraft this morning. You know, we're talking about our dominance in 3-on-3 in Lincoln for like 10 years, and we were saying, and I told Jerry, I said, hey, man, that would have wore us out because we drink beer after games, between games. How in the world can we keep up with that pace? You know, so just watching it was pretty exciting, you know. And you know, I think the rules are changing across the board. Heck, I just saw the NBA is going to change the rules on implementing a rule to limit fouls on non-basketball moves and what's the unnatural shooting motions. I mean, God, get the game right, man. I know it's entertainment, man, but let's get back to pure basketball, man.
So you agree with what the NBA is doing then?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, man. Because I watching the game and watching people flop their head back when you're dribbling and when they're shooting, they're flaying all over the place and stuff like that. I mean, it just, you know, it just takes the, for our purists, you know, that love basketball, man, it just takes my enjoyment of watching it. It just, you know, when you're trying to bait the ref and giving you a call, earn that call, you know, and you know, I'm looking forward to it, and I really hope that they kind of combine some of the NBA rules and how they play in Europe. Because Europe, man, obviously, man, they are steps above. I mean, we have the best athletes and the best basketball players, but fundamentally, man, Europe guys has us, man. I mean, just watching the ball movement and the pick and rolls and how the refs call the game, I said, golly, you know, they let a lot go, and now, man, you look at somebody wrong there, it's a foul. And it's just not, for me, it's not fun to watch.
Again, man, we got a few more minutes left with Husker legend Henry T. Buchanan. Hey, T, man, tonight, 5:30, 7:30, Lincoln, Nebraska. It is football fan day. The fans get a chance to go in and meet players and coaches, and then camp starts. When you were in town, did they have fan day? Did you ever get a chance to go? And then the second part of that is, how are you feeling about Scott Frost and staff and team in year four?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was around when they had the fan days, never was a part of that. The only time I really was a part of that when we were taking recruits to football games, we sat up in the press box and watched the games and give them tours and things of that sort. But as far as the Scott and his coaching staff, I think this is a year. I mean, I think the honeymoon is over. I mean, it's time to put up and I know just reading, I still read the Lincoln Journal Star, and I just saw where Coach Osborne is looking forward to what Trev is going to do for the program, and in addition to, he's also worried about Scott Frost a little bit, to see what happens this year. I just think they have to compete this year. I mean, his first 3 years was on shaky grounds, and I just think this year, and based on what I've been reading, that we do have some talent, and I know he's excited about a few of his players, and Adrian Martinez seems like he's back healthy and get back to what we saw when he was a freshman, so I'm pretty excited about this year, and I already got my Husker bar that I'll be hanging out at to watch games on football Saturdays, and looking forward to it.
Henry, you got the NBA draft tonight. Are you pretty set on Cunningham going one?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to say by far, but from the NBA ready college player that I watched this year, hands-on, as looks like Detroit Pistons got the number one pick.
They got the number one pick. Of course, there's the constant draft talk about maybe trading down or something like that. But I think they take him.
No, they have to take him because Detroit hasn't been relevant since Isaiah Thomas. Well, no, take that back. Chauncey Billups. Oh man, better get that in there. They didn't win one with Chauncey Billups, but after that. But I tell you what, he'll be number one, and I'm really hoping that our guy Batten gets in there in the late second round. If not, man, get a free agency. I'd love to see another Husker in the NBA. But I'm pretty sure Cade Cunningham is going to be the number one pick. They'll be foolish not to pick him.
That's awesome, T. I know you talked about Husker bars out there because there's a plenty out in the Arizona area. When's your first trip back here to watch one?
You know what? I'd be back the Labor Day weekend. I'm coming back for Brandon Clemens' wedding. Where he gets married on the 3rd, thank goodness he didn't choose football Saturday. if he got married on Saturday, he'd been in trouble. But I'll be there for the 4th, and I think we play Who's that? Fordham?
Fordham, yep.
Yep, I'll be there for that game, definitely. Yep, be at the wedding and have a little good time with the BC, and next morning I'll be down. Hey, speaking of, is Barry still closed?
Barry's?
I don't know. Will, do you know if they still are? I'm not sure.
Barry's, that's what you asked about?
Yes.
Yeah, they're closed. They are done.
Oh, my goodness. So outside of tailgate, man, I mean, that was one of the best spots to go to. Well, it used to be. Man, I hope did somebody buy it?
No, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think anybody has bought it yet.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it, but I know they have not opened the doors since coming back from COVID.
Well, it looks like I got to call Shoecraft and say, where are we going to go tailgate at? Of course, Bo Reed always have him and Zach Wiegert, and those guys always have a big-time tailgate, and then I always follow where Shoe goes. So, no, I'll be all right, and I'll be there for the first. Hey, and I've been hearing and reading things now. Are they questioning that we're going to – sellout streak is going to be is jeopardized this year? Am I missing something here?
Yeah,
I mean, there were stories about that, and there was the mini ticket plan that came out. I'm not buying any of it. It'll be sold out all year long. What?
Oh yeah, exactly. My sentiments exactly. So no, I'm looking. I'll be back there for that weekend, and looking forward to Brendan Clemens, a former Husker, getting married and being there for him, and then seeing some football. And then, of course, man, I'm going to be bugging Coach Hoiberg because I'm going to spend a lot of time up there with those players watching them because I want to see them work out, not only play. I want to see how they work out, you know, in the weight rooms and things. And just, you know, how they carry themselves. You know, I met them once on the court, super nice kids. But to talk to them outside of that is, you know, that I can get a better feel for what I'm looking at and their mentality. So I'm looking forward to getting back to Lincoln, man. And y'all going to see me back there more often here because I just, for some whatever reason, and if it doesn't happen, I'm still feeling good about how I feel about the Huskers. I'm going to be back more this year than ever. So I'm looking forward to it, man. And Coach Hoiberg, man, is the man.
Yeah, T, man, we appreciate you, man. I can't wait to get back. We can hook up some more, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Stay safe right out there, man. We'll talk soon.
All right. All right. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Henry T. Buchanan, Husker legend right there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today on a Thursday. Stay safe. Have a great time at Fan Day. Thanks for listening to Morning Hookup.